Happy Easter to all of us who are worshiping God on this Resurrection Sunday. As we have seen the video clip, we love stories of hope. My wife works at Valley Hospital, and every time a COVID patient is released from the hospital, discharged, they play song through the intercom, Simon and Garfunkel, Homeward Bound. And every time songs come out, everyone cheers because there's a hope for all of us. As we look out into our sanctuary, it is empty and it's sad, but we find joy knowing that even the tomb of Jesus is empty today. And if you look at the decoration that is before us right here, one of our deaconess decorated beautiful, floral and the decoration. And if you look at the decoration carefully, there's a message in it. The cloth, the white cloth, which represents the risen Lord Jesus Christ, has a letter M. And then there's a cross behind T. If you add those together, it's MT. Tomb is empty. Now you can focus, zoom in the camera, because I wanted to show the decoration. We are on the third Sunday of English worship service, and third Sunday happens to be Easter Sunday. And it's a great start. We had a lot of positive responses, and I wish English service would be like a resurrected service. So once something that was somewhat dead and comes to life, but it seems like we're just slowly picking up. Yet we find hope. We know that all this that we're going through will pass. We will have normal life to be restored soon. But in the midst of all this hardship, what do we need? Do we need more toilet papers? Do we need more hand wipes? Do we need more masks? Do we need more Tylenol? There are a lot of things that are running out, but there's one thing that we need to really focus on. We cannot lose hope. I read an interesting kind of little clip. They said, in the 60s, we had Bob Hope. Now, those of you who remember who Bob Hope is, you know you're pretty old. And in the 70s, we had Johnny Cash, a country singer. And in the 80s and 90s, we had Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer. Now in the 2000s, we don't have Hope, we don't have Cash, and we don't have Jobs. Perhaps our focus is here and now because of our uncertainties. We don't know if we are going to have enough cash. We don't know if we're going to keep our jobs. We don't know if we're going to have hope in the future, knowing that what we're going through will have a long-term impact in all of us. Will this ever go away? It is hard enough dealing with today's issues. Uncertain future stops me from putting my hope in anything. Is it worth putting hope on the things of this world? Because it seems like every time we place hope on something, that something simply disappoints us. Let me tell you, without hope, we have no future. Without hope, we have no tomorrow. And hopelessness will surely make us react, for us to look at here and now and determine my mood and my life to here and now. Now, here's a problem. Here and now is really depressing. Invisible virus disrupted our lives. It kind of took away all the normal, what was called normal in life. Last week, I had to conduct 2 graveside services. Only 10 people could gather by the graveside, and we had to finish the service in 10 minutes. No time to mourn. It was terrible. It was a terrible way to send someone that we love without just not being able to comfort each other in a real, in a meaningful way. If we only focus on here and now and not in the future of putting hope, I cannot help but to fall into depression and despair. Friends, let me tell you this. The greatest enemy of you and I is not COVID-19. It is hopelessness. It is despair. More than the stimulus package and all things that the government is promising, we need to restore within ourselves hope, the real hope. You take from a man his wealth, and you will hinder him for a while. Take from him his purpose, and you will slow him down. But take from a man his hope, and you are going to stop him. What is hope? Hope is a power that gives strength to overcome suffering and hardship. No matter how difficult here and now may be, hope gives us the power to overcome and look into the future. Hope brings peace and joy, but hopelessness takes us to despair and kind of life that belongs to hell. Dante wrote Divine Comedy, and in it, at the entrance of hell, hangs this sign: "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. Abandon hope, all who enter into hell. Hellish life is not the life of pain and suffering, but the life without hope is a life in hell. No matter how difficult life may be, if you have hope, you have power to overcome." In a powerful article titled "Dying of Despair," psychiatrist Kiriati presents his research on suicide. This is what he says. Over a 10-year span, it turns out that the one factor most strongly predictive of suicide is not how sick the person is, nor how many symptoms he exhibits, nor how many physical pains he's suffering, nor whether he is rich or poor. The most dangerous factor is a person's sense of hopelessness. A man without hope is the likeliest candidate for suicide. You see, we give up in life when we lose hope. As we're talking about hope, we need to discern there's good hope and bad hope. If you place your hope in something that is not good, you can ruin your life. The world promises hope, and God promises his hope as well. And what is the difference? The world hopes for the best, but Jesus Christ offers the best hope. There's a big difference. Let me go over that again. The world hopes for the best, but Jesus Christ offers the best hope. If we place our hope on the wrong things, we can end our life in despair. Give you an example. Among the disciples, Judas Iscariot was following Jesus with some sort of hope. He was hoping to cash in when Jesus' time came. When he rises to power, when he gets something good going, he was going to cash in. But nothing was happening. In fact, Jesus, whenever he had a chance to talk about his future, he was talking about him getting arrested, him getting beaten up, him dying. So he decided to bail out. And instead of bailing out, just quietly, he decided to betray Jesus. And the betrayal turned out to be selling him for his own gain. He had hope, but he had wrong hope. Today's passage talks about hope in Jesus Christ, living hope of God. And he is offering to those people who are born in Christ. In today's passage, verse 3 says this: "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth." And the new birth put us into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Those of us who are born again, we've been given a new hope, a living hope, because Jesus became that hope. Now we need to understand the situation where the Christians were receiving this letter from Peter. In AD 64, Emperor Nero began persecuting Christians, understanding the difficulty of keeping their faith as death was at their doorstep. Peter is reminding them that you need to possess living hope. You don't need to look at here and now and looking at the danger and the hardship that they're going through, but placing their living hope in the center of their lives. In that time, being Christian meant going to jail, getting beat up, tortured, being fed to lions, being burnt at stake. It was an easy time. In fact, it was more difficult than what we're going through right now. To overcome such hardship, only antidote was living hope. Only vaccine that they could receive in order to survive was living hope of Jesus Christ. The reason Jesus resurrected and the reason why we believe is to get this living hope. The Bible says that if you are in Christ, you are no longer an old creation, but a new creation. The old has to be gone in order for new to come in. Yet, if we look at our lives, we say we believe in the resurrection. We believe in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. But if we truly look into our lives, we tend to go back to our old selves. Instead of new coming in, we keep on going back to the old. We find Peter doing the same thing. Peter was, he was a head disciple. He followed Jesus for 3 years, and he witnessed all that Jesus did. In fact, he even witnessed risen Lord. He spent time with him, and he saw him, he witnessed all these things. Yet, if we look at John 21, after he met Jesus after the resurrection, he goes back home and goes fishing. He's going back to his old lifestyle. Why did he do that? Why did he go back to his old lifestyle? Why didn't he get excited? Okay, I got to do something with Jesus who is risen from the dead. Well, maybe he felt guilty. He felt unworthy because before the crucifixion, Peter was so confident that he was going to die with Jesus. He was going to be there till the end. But knowing that he betrayed him, not only once, not twice, but 3 times, he felt not worthy. He felt he didn't deserve to be the disciple again. Maybe that's our problem as well. Why do we keep on going back to our old lifestyle after we proclaim the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, after we say we believe in the resurrection, after we say that we have living hope within us? Why do we keep on going back to the old lifestyle? Maybe, perhaps, we don't feel worthy because of our sinfulness, because of our betrayal, because of our lacking. Yet Jesus offers us, once again, the gift of hope. He knows my past. He knows my present. Yet, he calls us to have hope. Though my feeling of unworthiness, that I'm unfit, unprepared to follow him, he is not telling us, okay, you don't deserve, but he's telling us to follow him and to have hope. You see, if we really know the heart of Jesus, what Jesus has in his heart, what he intends, what he desires from each one of us, we wouldn't be going back to our old lifestyle. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." What is the plan of God? Plan is to prosper you and not harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. See, when we are going through hardship, we ask the question, God, you know, why is this happening to me? Don't you love me? Don't you care for me? Are you there? We feel like God is out to hurt me and out to get me in trouble. But the heart of God, the mind of God, what he desires for you and I is for us to have hope and future. Even though present situation here and now is difficult, if we have hope, we are going to look into the future. God's plan is not to harm me, but to bless me. So we don't run away. We keep on walking toward the one who is risen from the dead. We keep on walking, even if it's difficult. We keep on walking and walking in faith. I read this kind of funny story. 2 frogs fell into a tub of cream. There was nothing they could use to leverage for them to jump out of a tub. So after swimming for a while, frog style, one frog said, well, what's the use? We're going to die here anyway. What's the point of just wasting energy? I'm just going to die. And he drowned and died. But the other frog thought to himself, I'm not finished until I hear the fat lady sing, so I'm going to just keep on trying. And he kept on just swimming and swimming and moving his arms and legs like crazy. Sometime later, the frog, you know, as he was just swimming, he began to churn that cream, and he jumped out of that tub via butter. He just moved that cream so much that it turned into butter, and he jumped out. You see, we don't give up. We don't live life of hopelessness, because God promises that I'm going to give you hope and future. And today's passage, he's promising us to give two things to those who have living hope. First, he promises to give inheritance. Verse 4 says this, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Inheritance is a legal term, receiving from the parent or the ancestors. You deserve to receive it because you belong in the family. You see, the earthly inheritance may be good, but like the scripture says, it can perish, it can spoil or fade. But the inheritance that God is promising us is kept in heaven for us. In Old Testament, God promised his people inheritance, and that was the land of Canaan, the promised land. But in New Testament, God promised the people his inheritance, and that inheritance is heaven. Salvation is free. It is by grace of God we're saved. However, those who live in hope, in living hope, there's a condition attached in order to receive the blessings of God. In 1 Chronicles 28:8 says this, so now I charge you in the sight of all Israel and of the assembly of the Lord and in the hearing of our God, be careful to follow all the commands of the Lord your God. You see, God is kind of commanding to the people of God, as you gather, you make sure that you proclaim to people to follow all the commandments of God, that you must obey, that you may possess this good land and pass it on to the inheritance to your descendants forever. The Bible says that you need obedience in order to receive the living hope, and with the living hope, his inheritance. Disobedience takes inheritance away from us. What is disobedience? When we place our hope on earthly things. The Bible is clear. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It is clear. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desire pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. See, God is saying, don't love the world. You know, when we read this passage, we say that, oh, I gotta hate the world. It is talking about the worldliness. It is not talking about, I gotta hate the world, so I hate Grand Canyon. I hate Yosemite. No, it's not talking about the world. It's talking about the worldliness, the sinfulness, the craving of sinful men and the lust of his eyes and boasting of what he has and does. All these things are called worldliness. These will pass away. What is eternal is obedience. And second thing that he promises when we live in living hope is this, his protection. Verse 5 says this, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. God is going to shield us, protect us. You see, the Bible says the enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We are in constant pressure, constant attack from the evil one. And we can be devoured by the evil one if we're not careful. So we need to stay awake. One day, this is a kind of a, someone wrote a story. Don't think that this is a real story. Came up with this story. One day, the devil decided to have a garage sale, talking to his finest tools, taking all of his finest tools of destruction, hatred, evil, jealousy, envy, deceit, lust, lying, and pride. All these tools, he priced each of them according to their value and placed them on the driveway. But the most worn-out tool was set apart from the other instruments. The curious customer saw and picked up the worn tool and looked at the price, and he was shocked how expensive it was. And he asked, what is this tool higher than the others? The devil laughed and said, because it is more powerful than any other that I have. When I use this tool on a person's heart, I can pry it open And when I use it, I can use other tools in order to enter into someone's heart. And what is that tool called? And the devil said, it is a tool of discouragement. When we look at here and now, our hearts will be discouraged. And when discouragement comes, we lose hope. And when we lose hope, we begin to sin before God. That is why God says, commands us to guard our hearts, because it is the wellspring of life. We need to guard our hearts for us to live life of hope, not of despair. And he's not leaving us alone, that, you know, you need to do this alone by yourself. No. He says he will bring protection. Deuteronomy 32:10 says this, in a desert land he found them, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eyes. If we are God's property, if we are God's children, he is telling us that I'm going to meet you in the desert, in a place that is barren, and I'm going to really protect you, and I'm going to care for you, and I'm going to guard you as the apple of my eyes. Whenever danger comes, you know, the first place that we cover is our eyes. When we're scared, we cover our eyes. We protect our eyes. And God says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be there with you till the end of the earth. As we look around, the world is filled with hopelessness and despair. How are we facing in these uncertain times? The Bible is very clear about what we need to have in our lives. Faith, hope, and love. These three must remain. These three must remain. We need to have faith in order to have hope. And someone who has faith and hope, you know what kind of life they ought to live? Life of love. That's what we're called to do. And when we live such lives, today's passage, verse 6 and 7 says this, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God wants to make each one of us into his star. He wants us to shine. He wants us to really bring praise, glory, and honor to his name. That's what he's calling us to do. We are going through the refining process, and the final expected product ought to bring praise, glory, and honor to his name. Those who live by faith shine during this hardship, because we do not lose sight of hope. And when we have hope, we are going to live a life of love. There's a song that I really like. Of many songs, this song I like. It's not a Christian song, but it's a song, I don't know who sang it. I heard when I went to see the musical Orphan Annie. And it's called Tomorrow. And the lyric is really, it brings smile and it brings joy to all of our hearts. And this is the lyric. The sun will come out tomorrow. I won't sing it, don't worry. I'll just read it. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollars that tomorrow there will be sun. Just think about tomorrow. Clear away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck a day that's gray and lonely, and just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're always a day away. A day away from tomorrow. And today, no matter what happens in my life, I am not going to lose my smile. I'm not going to lose my peace. That I am going to look for tomorrow, because behind the dark cloud, I know and I believe there's a sun that is waiting to shine in each one of us. Live by faith, not by sight. And when you do, we will have hope. Living hope of knowing that what happens now is not the end, but there is always tomorrow. So today, I can live loving others, serving others. God bless you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day that you have given to us, special Sunday. We celebrate Easter 2020, even though sanctuary may be empty and our hearts are filled with living hope of knowing that you died for us and you rose from the dead. Lord, fill us with your hope, living hope, so that we may overcome whatever comes our way with faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.